What's up, I'm Beyonce.
Yeah, this is Big Snoop D-O-double-G.
Hi, this is Kelly Clarkson.
Stick around for more conversations with Allison J. The Journey to Here, brought to you by Ethel May Books. This is Conversations with Allison J. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Conversations with Allison J., The Journey to Here. Today, as always, we have another captivating and thought-provoking topic and guest. Here's your host, Allison J.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Conversations with Allison J., The Journey to Here. I'm your host, Allison J. Today, I'm delighted to welcome Jasmine Jones. Jasmine is an author and speaker for singles, both men and women, in the modern dating world. Think Katherine Johnson meets Sarah Jakes Roberts. We're going to be talking about living single. So many times people think that if you're single and you're a certain age, something must be wrong with you. But we're here to talk about loving yourself, living healthy, living single in the modern day world. Thank you for joining us, Jasmine. So, Jasmine, we're going to be talking about living single. And I think I took that from a TV show.
Oh, yeah, I think you did.
the words came into my head thinking, okay, there's a familiarity about it, not quite sure, but I think I took it from a TV show. So we're going to be talking today about living single, embracing living single. It's not a disease. There's nothing wrong with you if you happen to be single past the age of 25. And there's nothing to be ashamed or embarrassed about either. Because in many cultures, it's if you're not married or have children by a certain age, you're frowned upon, you're treated like a pariah. And then you're often asked the question, what's wrong with you? Like, you have to have something wrong with you as to why you're not all loved up, coupled up. And what's the other one that came out recently? Cuffed up?
Cuffing season.
Cuffing, yeah. Right? So, so I just wanted to talk to you about living a healthy, productive, happy life while single, living single. And that's your area of expertise. So, Jasmine, over to you.
Okay. Well, to give you a little bit of background about me, by day I'm an engineer, and being an inspirational speaker and author, I think really keeps me grounded and balanced, a healthy balance of analytical and creative thinking. So think NASA mathematician Katherine Johnson from Hidden Figures meets Sarah Jakes Roberts. That's the perfect blend of me that I would describe myself as. So how I got started encouraging singles. Well, about 5 years ago, I was fresh out of graduate school, a few years into my career as an engineer, doing everything that I thought I wanted to do, but I was still feeling unfulfilled. So I felt like just something was missing. I focused so many years on my academics and then getting started in my career that I wasn't really dating anyone. I was working a lot, and also kind of a broken heart, because I had had a lot of experiences with men that I said had the qualities that I didn't even want. But I thought that I can make it work, or I can settle and it will figure itself out. And in return, got my heart broken.
But so, can you say that though? Sorry to interrupt, because is that not the age-old story of pretty much, well, I shouldn't say pretty much everyone, because I do have some friends that got married very young, married to their first love, and 20, 30, 40 years later, they're still together, they're still married. But for most people that haven't had that notebook kind of love story,
yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, then isn't that the way though, we and men and women, because I don't want people to think that, oh, it's just a bunch of women sitting around. Men have their heart broken too.
That's true.
Men, and there are some men that meet the one, mm-hmm. and there are some red flags in the beginning. I think we would all be a bit naive if we were to really say by the time we had our heart broken, we didn't see some of these red flags in the very, very beginning. But to your point, thought you could make it work.
Right, right, exactly. So that was me. That's the story we like to tell, some of us that don't get that, you know, storybook, or like you said, maybe meet your high school sweetheart or a college sweetheart, something. I didn't have any of that. So I was going through that. And at the same time, I just felt like I didn't know what I was good at either. I knew that I could stay focused in school and I got through all of that, but I didn't even know what my talents were because I quit just about everything I ever started, from like gymnastics to cheerleading. I was just like, I'm just gonna focus on being an engineer. This is what I wanna do. So when I wasn't feeling fulfilled, I started seeking God and meditating, getting assessments, spiritual gift assessments, personality assessments, anything I can get my hands on to try to figure out essentially who I was, because in a sense, I didn't really know. I knew some aspects of what I liked, but not everything. So when I did that, I was actually coming back from a vacation about 5 years ago. After meditating, I was praying, I was really into God, and I was even debating if I wanted to go on this vacation because I felt it would kind of distract me from this journey that I was on. But I went, and then on my flight back home, I actually felt an urge from God and the answer that I was seeking to, and he encouraged me to write a book to encourage singles, to help them embrace their singleness, refocus their mindset from their singleness and more so on self-love, looking at healing from past relationships and freedom from those experiences, and then focusing in on your purpose and living in that purpose. Mm-hmm. So that birthed my first book, The Single Ladies Commandments. And as I was sharing that book with single women and doing various speaking engagements, women would come up to me and they would say, okay, well, we got it down now. We got it down pat. We know what we need to do. What about the men? And I was like, well, I don't know about that. I was like, okay. Then I would go to other engagements and there would be a few men there said, okay, well, what about us? I'm sure some of it was jokingly, half jokingly, but I was like, okay, let me just sit down and see, can I even write a book for men? And not from the perspective of telling a man how to be a man, because clearly I'm a woman, I can't do that. But looking at a perspective of, from a woman's perspective, from dating a man and going through experiences with them where not only, as I mentioned earlier, me trying to make something work, but them trying to make something work or tagging me along because, you know, they don't have anyone else to in their life right now or the spouse that they desire. So we're kind of playing, both of us are playing this game with one another where we're holding on knowing that it's not the person that we really truly want.
That's right there, Jasmine, that whole part right there spoke volumes, because I remember a few years ago, I think it was my aunt said to me, why is it that so many times you find two people that truly, really love each other are not together, they're with other people? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I thought about it, and I thought to myself, you know something, to get over hurt and disappointment, that can be done. And I'm not saying it's easy to be done, but it can be done and you can move on and you can still function. But to get over true, real heartbreak, that is hard. That is devastating. And a lot of people don't come back from that. Mm-hmm. And I think that subconsciously, so that people don't put themselves in that position, they do exactly what you've just said. They're with a person that they, in their heart, they know it's not the person they really want to be with, but they would rather have the person they want to be with in their life in an amicable way, mm-hmm. than take the risk of being with that person. It doesn't work. And then that person's just no longer in your life. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yes, I mean, that's a very good point. I think of it from a perspective of fear, that sometimes we're afraid that if we let this person go, maybe they treat you very well. I've been in a relationship with a person treating me very well, but I wasn't even attracted to them physically. And I thought, oh, maybe the attraction can grow. It'll be fine. And it did a little bit, but that was one of the first, I think, committed relationships that I was in. And I was so afraid to get out of that relationship because I thought, well, he treats me so well. And eventually I'll get there. And it's interesting because that was one of the first committed relationships I was in, I thought that I wasn't even an affectionate person. I didn't like him to really touch me or to kiss me. And I just thought, oh, I'm just not affectionate. But when I did get out of that relationship, I learned that I am affectionate. It was just that I was trying to force something to work that wasn't going to work because people say, okay, you know, you can look at, you know, you want to look at the inside and the outside doesn't matter. And to an extent, you know, there's a healthy balance, I think, between the two. You know, you have to be physically attracted to the person. Even if anyone else, everyone else in this room wasn't attracted to them, but you are, then that's the attraction that you need. And those two go hand in hand. So I think going back to your question, it's the fear that we have sometimes to think that maybe I won't get anything better than this. And then I'll be always wishing or hoping that maybe they'll be available and then maybe they won't be. They'll be off into their bliss and found the person that they wanted and I let something good go. But I think it's a matter of trying to think about it from, be positive, you know, change your mindset. The things that you desire, you have to visualize those things as if they're already here. And in order to really, you know, take yourself out of that fear mindset, you have to have faith that what you want and what is for you is always going to be for you. Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that you should say that about faith. I'm trying to remember it now. I'm going to probably paraphrase. I put up a post on social media probably about a year or so ago, and it was mentioning about faith and if you're believing in something enough. But what people think that faith is just having faith is just believing that for the positive things that are going to happen and all the good things. But if you focus your attention and your belief on anything, whether that be a positive thing or a negative thing, enough, that is faith right there. If you're constantly believing that bad things are going to happen, you're just using your faith to manifest and attract to you negative circumstances. And so, you know, what you said about having faith and believing that. And I think sometimes going back to what you're saying, we do need to change our mindset. We do need to change our beliefs, because if we're with a person and all we're doing is thinking that this is the best you're going to get, that's all the best you're ever going to get then, isn't it?
Exactly. One of my favorite books, and recently they did a fictional adaptation of it, is The Secret. And the basis of The Secret is that thoughts become things. Mm-hmm. So as you mentioned, if you continue to think about, oh, this is the best I'm going to get, no one else will love me if I leave this relationship, then that's exactly where you're going to be. So shifting your mindset to what you want and your desire is one of the first steps in really embracing your singleness, because in your singleness, you're in a sense in this waiting period. Mm-hmm. And you want to use that waiting period wisely. You want to use it to focus on the things that bring you joy or getting to know yourself. For example, with me 5 years ago, not even knowing what I truly like to do. I didn't even know I really liked to write. I thought I'm just a math person. I like to punch numbers and solve problems, but I actually enjoy creative writing. And I didn't know that until I started to seek God and try to look within, to really use that time wisely and not and letting go of people in my life that really didn't have any lifetime value for me.
And that's interesting, because as you were mentioning that, I remember I was on a panel last week, and it was talking about being in relationships and knowing who you are. And it made me recall when I was 21 and I'd gotten into a long-term relationship, And I was pretty fresh, pretty green, because I grew up in the church. And this guy that I was dating was not a church guy. And so it was a whole new world that was opened up to me. And we were together for a good few years. We were together for about 6 years. Mm-hmm. And after we split, it's like you said, I didn't know what I didn't know about myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what I liked. I didn't know what I liked to do. I didn't know what I even, I know this is going to sound weird, but some of the things I didn't even realize, remember things I liked to eat.
Yeah.
Because it would just be something where I was creating this, what I was trying to create what I thought was all the things I needed to do to stay and keep this relationship. Even though I knew it was an unhealthy relationship that I was in. Mm-hmm. There was an element of control and manipulation. So I knew I was in an unhealthy relationship. However, to your point, and the thing is, he was a businessman. He was very charismatic. He was very well known in the community, all those kinds of things. So I'm thinking to myself, oh, I've got to keep it here.
Right.
Yeah. I better hold on to this guy and do all these things. But fundamentally, I actually wasn't happy. Mm-hmm. So after he and I split, and for the third and final time, it was a case of I started to take myself out. Mm-hmm. I went on holiday. I went on vacation by myself. I traveled by myself. I took myself on dates. I went to the movies by myself. And because all the kind of movies that I like to watch, just those goofy, silly movies that a lot of people are thinking, I'm not paying money to go and see that. I'll wait for it to come on the television. I took myself to the movies to go and see those things. Granted, it was in the middle of the day because I didn't want to be there on a Friday night with all couples all around me and stuff like that, because I was still on this journey of discovery. And I took myself out to eat to restaurants, and I had to be okay with being at a table by myself and ignoring the glances, ignoring the people looking over like, oh my God, poor thing, she's by herself. Oh, you know, or the thing where people think, oh, has she been stood up? I had to, you know, really get past all of that and not focus or concern myself about what other people thought or what they were thinking.
Exactly. No, I know exactly what you're talking about, because I actually did the same thing. I would go to movies by myself. I'll go out to eat by myself. And I think that's getting back to what we were speaking to earlier, touching on earlier, about being unashamed in your singleness. Like, there's nothing wrong with going anywhere by yourself, you know, and just getting to know who you are, as you said, as you mentioned as well. And another aspect of that, I don't know if you had this happen to you, but sometimes when I would go out by myself, that's when single men would try to talk to me, because they didn't have the pressure of me being surrounded by friends and getting, if I declined them, I think that gave them a sense of confidence as well to not be ashamed in their singleness and come up to me and see, you know, how are you today? You know, what are you doing? Are you having a good time? You know, things of that nature. So I know exactly what you're speaking to there. And I tried it as well. It actually works out as far as like, it's a two-edged sword. I think I was able to understand who I was, and I even got a few dates out of the situation. So, you know, you never know what could happen.
Well, I can safely say, I'm trying to think, because we're going back a few years here now, Jasmine. I'm trying to think. It's funny because I think I got approached more when I wasn't single. Mm. And when I was single, and I thought to myself, okay, I'm not quite sure what to do with this. I didn't know what to do with it. And I found it very strange. And then when I was single, like, okay, here I am. Where are you?
Yeah. So like, I think I've heard, you know, you look happy or you look content when you're in a relationship, you're not looking for anything, and people see that happy on you. So I think what can help in that aspect, if you're single and you're like, okay, what's going on now that I am single? No one's reaching out to me. Do I look different now? I'm ugly, or what's going on? So
I think like trying to mimic in a sense that happiness, but being happy with yourself is probably, I think, is the key to attracting a healthy relationship in your
family. And you say that, that's reminding me of a quote that I read where it says, confidence is attractive.
So,
your point, I'm thinking about it then, yes, of course. So I wanted to talk to you about how heartbreak was your motivation behind becoming an author. Because most people, when they've got their broken heart, it's they put on my favorite artist of all time, Luther Vandross, and they start with the do-do-do-do-do, the house is not a home, anyone who ever loved, you know, don't you remember you told me you loved me, you know, so most people sit there with the book, you know, I'm just going to the straight stereotype from the movies, right? The tub of ice cream, the dirty tissues all around the place, and Luther playing in the background, and they're an absolute heaping mess.
Right.
But you, your heartbreak was the motivation and the driving force behind you becoming an author. How did you do that?
So it's funny you mentioned music, because music had a lot to do with that. For me, my go-to heartbreak song was Toni Braxton, Let It Flow. So I would always go to that song when I was in, you know, turmoil and pain with all these relationships that just weren't working out, or dating, or no callbacks, ghosting me, things I would get heartbroken over someone I only talked to for a day. So, you know.
I've done that one.
I don't understand, like, he's not even reaching back out to me. So really, like, going back to what I was saying and how God inspired me to write the book, one of the things he told me when he inspired me to write it was to relate it to music. So in my book, there are 90 songs related to 90 days of devotion, and they're split up into that love, healing, freedom, and purpose category. So for example, one of the songs is on the first day of the book is Real Love. So by Mary J. Blige. And Mary says, you know, I'm searching for a real love. I'm looking for a real love. I just want a real love. Where is it? You know? And she can't find it anywhere. And one of the things that that devotion talks or ties back to is God's word about that. So, you know, as women, we're not intended to chase after a man or run after him or search for him or try to find him. In a sense, that's what God sees it as, a man's job, you know. And I'm actually quite relieved we don't have to go around, you know, trying to find a spouse so that we can get that blessing that it says that men get from finding a wife. So from that aspect, I think that we also have to pay attention to the things that we're listening to, what we're taking in, as far as music, movies, you know, surround yourself with the love that you want to have. So I went through a pretty rough heartbreak a couple years ago. And the thing is, like, one of the misconceptions for me is when I thought I wrote my book, that I had this deal with God. Okay, I write this book. You send me my husband, right? That's how this works. You know, I help other women. You help me out. But he never said anything or agreed to that. But that was in my mind how it was going to go. So when it didn't go that way, and I was still going through these heartbreaks and situations, I had to go back in my own book and start reading it and looking to see, okay, how can I approach this breakup differently than I have in the past? And I started listening to music that brought me joy. That's how I really started reading The Secret and the documentary, the movie of The Secret as well, and using those principles and getting more understanding, looking at, you mentioned manipulative behaviors earlier, because a lot of people I've heard describe men as being narcissistic. Like, oh, he's narcissistic, he's obsessed with himself, but there's actually many, many more manipulative behaviors that may more accurately describe not just a man's traits or behaviors, but a woman's as well. And those are important when you're dating to be able to identify those behaviors early on. So you can identify them and say, okay, this is not going to work for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's interesting that you talk about the behaviors and the manipulation and not chasing, because, and I think many times as women, because we have this whole thing, and I think if we never heard the term your biological clock is ticking, I think a lot more women would not be in certain situations because I need to have a baby. My biological clock is ticking. Because I remember somebody said to me, I'd only been married about 2 years, probably not even that long. And somebody said to me, what are you waiting for? You're getting old, you're over 40, your eggs are going to dry up. Like, okay, hi, how are you? It's like, oh, hi, good evening. It's like, okay, how about you leave my eggs and my ovaries alone? Because that's not really a topic of conversation, is it? So to what you were saying about when it's a man's job, because I'm trying to remember where it's taken from. It's like, he who findeth a wife
finds a good thing
and obtains favor with the Lord. So there's nowhere does it say that she who chases, hunts and whatever. And I think a lot of the times where people get it a little twisted is then they forget about that part. And then they go to Ruth and Boaz. Well, Ruth was doing this and she was doing that. And she was out in the field and she made, okay. But what she was doing, she didn't run after him. She just put herself in a place to be noticed.
Right, exactly.
And I think many times in being single, we are in such a rush and a jump to jump into the next thing. And I think, you know, there's the internal pressures that we all have, but there's so much of the external pressures that we buy into and we pay attention that we tend to run after things that, and then grab hold of sometimes the first thing that comes along. Mm-hmm. Which we should really let it pass.
That happens as well.
So that's actually very interesting that you mention about it's, you know, men, because, and I find there's many times that relationships that I've been in a very transparent moment here, when I didn't let him pursue, it was a disaster.
Yes.
An absolute disaster, because men like that chase.
Yeah.
Whether they realize it, yes or no, for the most part, they like that chase, that they are the man, they are pursuing, they are doing that whole, that's, you know, pursuing and going after you. So it's interesting that you're saying that so many times that if we don't pay attention to that, we put the pressure on. Because you said that you felt less pressure when you realized you didn't have to do that.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, so like, I think naturally, it's just that that's something, you know, men are equipped or built into them to do so. I had a conversation with a male friend that kind of inspired my book in a sense too, when he told me, he said, you know, what's harder? You think a woman waiting for a husband or a man seeking a wife? And I kind of play along these lines in one of the devotions in the men's book and say, okay, well, maybe he has a point. Maybe it is a little more difficult for him because he has to really work on action. Like, he has to actually actively seek someone, you know, seek so he can find. Mm-hmm. And to your point too, you know, with Ruth and Boaz, you know, Ruth made herself available. So for us, we have a role in it too. It's not like, oh, I'm just going to sit in my house. My friends invited me out on a Friday night, or I really want to see this movie by myself on a Thursday. And I don't go because I think, oh, I should just, you know, barricade myself in the house and maybe the UPS man will be my husband. I don't know. Maybe someone have to come to my door and find me. You know, you have to make yourself available to and open to finding real love, or receiving real love, rather.
Yes, you saying that just reminded me of something a friend of mine said. She had been through a breakup and she had done the work. She had worked on herself. So, okay, you know what? I think I'm ready now. I think I'm good. But then it was a case of she wasn't going out. She was going to work, going to do the grocery shopping, and that was pretty much about it. So one day she said to me, she says, I think the only way I'm going to meet somebody is if he breaks into my home.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because she wasn't going anywhere. She wasn't actively doing anything. And I just thought to her, like, well, now that you've realized that, what are you going to do?
Right.
Because sometimes it comes, you have to come to that realization that, hold on a second, okay. Like you said, unless it's like a delivery man or the mailman or nobody, if you're in your house, chances are you're going to be in your house living single forever.
And it is a little tougher now because we're all supposed to pretty much be in the house with this current environment. But I was having a conversation with a few friends. We were outdoors at a park. We just met up and one of them asked me, like, you know, where do you meet people now? You know, how is dating going to be now? Because, you know, even if you do meet someone to date, you may be too scared to touch their hand or give them a hug or anything like that. And actually, I think in a sense, it could be a blessing that, you know, you don't jump so far into the physical intimacy of being in a relationship or dating someone so soon. You get to know them on a more personal or mental level. So my answer to them was online, more than likely. That's one. You know, we were at an outdoor park and there were some people running around on the track. You know, if you just go out and make yourself available, at least in the nice weather. I live in Detroit, so it's pretty cold up here. And I know that the cold is quickly approaching. So I'm trying to get out as much as possible, you know, before everything is shut down for the winter again and we're all in the house. So, you know, trying to make those opportunities to, like we said, make yourself available. And then also seeing this time where you can't get too close to someone physically that you just met without really getting to know them. You know, where have you been? What do you usually do with your day? Are you going out and sneaking out to parties when we all should be, you know, staying safe? So you get to understand them and their characteristics. Mm-hmm. I think during this time, and it's a blessing to have that.
Yeah, that is true. And I think one of the things that, like you said, we don't pay enough attention to is actually getting to know a person, because it's not everybody you get to know you're supposed to be dating.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. It's not everybody you meet you're supposed to be dating.
Exactly.
And I think so many times, again, where we get that twisted is because of this, we have such this desire to be coupled up, that we have this desire and this drive. And I often wonder, where does this come from? Is this an internal pressure? Is it an external pressure? Because society is saying by now you should be married, you or in a long-term relationship or have children or all of the above. Mm-hmm. So it does make me wonder.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I think another aspect and the beauty of living in this time period, or, you know, this lifetime, is that people 50, 100 years ago were getting married so young. Mm-hmm. They were having children so young. And could have been a lot had to do with that pressure. Could have just been the desire that we, I guess, naturally incline people who want to be with a significant other have. But I think ultimately, you're living in a great time, because some of the pressure of having that biological clock, when you really think about it, should subside, because we have, you know, modern medicine and mm-hmm. science that tells us that helps us or aids us in the fact that You don't necessarily have to have a baby in your 20s, or women are having children later and later in life. So that kind of eases, I think, some of the pressure off of women. And it's acceptable, socially acceptable as well, to have children later on. So if you desire to be a wife or a husband first, that pressure, I think, in this day and age has been alleviated somewhat.
Mm. And you mentioned about heartbreak was the motivation behind becoming an author. So how did that teach you how to embrace self-love, to accept love? And because firstly, doesn't it have to start with, you have to, like going back to where we were talking about, doesn't it have to go to knowing yourself and loving yourself? So during this time, when we don't have the luxury of being out and about the way we would do, taking this time to on a self-exploration journey and being okay in being single. Because to be honest, you don't have the pressure of having all these couples in your face anymore, do you?
Not really.
Not right now, anyway.
Maybe on social media, but you have a choice if you're going to go on it or not. But yes, of course, you know, you can't love anyone else effectively if you don't first love yourself. And speaking to how we were talking earlier about who you are, knowing who you are, some of the ways that you can do that are also self-love techniques. So, you know, journaling, meditating. So one of the things I like to do, you know, different scents. So let's say essential oils have different healing qualities. So like, say like an orange, that gives you some sense of optimism. Rose is a sense of love. So, you know, taking that time and getting to yourself and maybe exploring some of those scents, exploring what really brings you a sense of joy, and reflecting on your past, and say, for example, through journaling, writing down some of the experiences that cause you heartbreak or the things you may continue to go over and over in your mind. Because when you think about healing from the perspective of time, you know, your time is so precious. And I think during this current environment, we've seen it firsthand, you know, how fragile life is.
Absolutely.
And when we look at it from that aspect, I think it's important for us to really, you know, take the time to see how much time are we dedicating to our heartbreak or focusing on our heartbreak. Mm-hmm. If you think of a matter of a year is 31 million seconds. You know, if you're spending years and years and years to get over a heartbreak or keep putting yourself through heartbreak, how many seconds of your life have you dedicated to that? You know, dedicated to just going over and over in your mind about how hurt you are. Mm. How much, if you took that same time and you really look to see how to love yourself, how to really treat yourself well, then that's how you can attract someone else, or even just be content in your own singleness, mm-hmm. to just, you know, have peace about the situation.
Because it's not always about like you were saying just now, it's not always even about attracting someone else. It's about having peace within mm-hmm. yourself, so that you can function, whether you're a single person or in a relationship. And because you were saying about journaling and learning. So that's what I wanted to ask you, because you did a podcast saying, a thank you heartbreak podcast, exes are building blocks. Mm-hmm. So what did you learn from that? What did you mean by that?
So if I take it from the perspective of like going through my own heartbreak, I think when I did that podcast, that's the relationship that I had just gotten out of. And I wasn't really seeing the person that I was dating for who they were. I didn't see some of the toxic traits that they had. And then in turn, not just pointing the finger at them, but myself, some of the toxic behaviors that I was exhibiting that were in defense and in a defensive mode of what they were doing, he was doing to me, and also what I was doing to him. So I think from that aspect, you can look at relationships or exes as building blocks, because you learn about who you are when you are dealing with other people. I think, you know, you can build some of the healing that you're going to have in your personal life is going to stem from, you know, just being by yourself and self-reflecting and even connecting with God and other singles or other people in your life. But sometimes your healing is also going to be stemmed from going through the test. Mm-hmm. And being in a relationship is the ultimate test to see, how did you learn from the previous relationship?
Did you learn? Sometimes it's not even how did you. Sometimes it's a did you learn? Yes. Because there's many times that we see the same patterns. Mm-hmm. Yes. In our life, and it's the same, it's literally like the same stuff, different face.
Yes.
So it's not, so you're saying that it's not even what did you learn, how did you learn, it's did you.
Right. Did you, because to your point too, you know, like you said, you could be going through the same thing, just a different face. And I think early on for me, in my early 20s, I was just going through this cyclic behavior, these cycles where I was just dating the same person, but they just had a different face. I was continually trying to choose people that didn't have one of the main qualities that I wanted, that I said I wanted in a significant other, and that was a God-fearing man. And when you sit back and you think, okay, you know, you can't tell anyone who is grown what to do. They have to be willing to change on their own. I can't make a person, love God or love me the way that I want to be loved. They have to, you know, make that choice on their own. So when you sit down and you really think about it from when you're going through that reflection in your life, you want to make sure that you're also being honest with yourself about what role you're playing in your relationships. Because I think there was even one time I was sharing with my mother that I was, you know, broke up with another gentleman, and she was telling me, like, you know, this is the same thing that happened in your last relationship. And I didn't even connect the dots. I was like, she's right. This is something I need to work on. Like, it's no way that two men that I was dating would say the same thing about me, and it's just coincidence. Like, I should just brush it off. You know, maybe the first time it'd be like, oh, he didn't know what you're talking about. But the second time, something, a light bulb should go on there somewhere.
Yeah, and not only that, you know, something that you were saying, one of the things I've said, and I haven't held the mirror up to myself, because that's the last thing we tend to do, right? I've actually always held it up. And I remember I was saying to this a guy that I was dating after we split, because I was thinking, yep, I don't want this, I can't do this. And he was saying something to me, and I says, okay, you have told me that XXXXX have all said this about you. I'm saying this, but we are all the problem. You haven't realized who the common denominator is in all of this. So what you're saying there, you were the common denominator. Well, that's that is so true when we look at it, because we are quick to point the finger when we've gone through the breakup to say, well, and he did this, and he did this, and he did this, and he did this. But so many times it's okay, so but what did you do?
Right.
And in between, rather than be so quick to jump into the next, mm-hmm. are you gonna actually take that time or take some time in between to stop and say, okay, let me analyze me. Mm-hmm. Let me look at me. Let me strip away and just take and just hold up this the magnifying glass or the mirror to me. So once your mother pointed that out to you, your aha moment, what was that like?
It's like, oh, okay. I think I actually denied it at first. I'm like, oh, okay. But then when I sat down and I was like, okay, when I got to myself, did some journaling because I love to journal. It was really a reflection, you know, where I had to say, be honest with myself, you know, what I was doing in my relationships to cause some strife. And I think it's always a growing process. You know, no one's perfect. We all have our own issues and concerns that we go through. And there's this thing that says, you know, there's always a victim in the story. Mm. Everyone thinks that the victim is not them. But I think with relationships, it's a two-edged sword. You know, you're bringing two people together with different backgrounds, different lifestyles, and you're asking them to see if they can do life together. So there's going to be some situations where you don't agree. There's going to be different points of view, but it's a matter of how you handle them. And even if it doesn't work out in that previous relationship, like speaking to exes as our building blocks, then what are you going to do next time around to be better? Mm-hmm. And kind of speaking to earlier what we said, not just for a previous relationship, but for yourself, because a lot of the habits we have don't just speak to romantic relationships. You speak to friendships, relationships you have with your family. So a lot of those behaviors or traits that you have can be apply to make a better you all the way around.
Mm, yeah, that is the key though, isn't it? To be a better you, and not to be a better you for somebody, be a better you for you.
Exactly.
So that you can bring that into any kind of relationship, whether it's a romantic relationship, a professional relationship, or anything of the sort. So after exes are building blocks, then how did you, because I know you mentioned journaling, but are there any other strategies that you use to heal from your heartbreak and your past and dating experiences that helped you be okay and content with being single and not being embarrassed or ashamed to be like, yep, I'm single and I'm happy in that?
Yeah, actually, one of the tactics I tried when I was going through a really rough heartbreak, I was going to therapy, but I also worked with a relationship coach. And she gave me some very helpful methods mm-hmm. to really look at how to love myself. So one of the exercises that we did, and some people can't do this right off the cuff. I think even now, even though I did the exercise, sometimes I kind of stumble over it. But she asked me, what do I like about myself? And it took me a moment to answer. And so she challenged me. She said, okay, I want you to take some post-it notes. I want you to write down as many things you like about yourself and post it in a place where you can see it every day. So I posted it on my mirror in my bedroom and read everything I liked about myself for the next 2 weeks. And that really helped me to realize, you know, what do I love about myself and why others around me should love me for who I am. Like I said, not just from a relationship standpoint, but being content in my singleness and having friends around me that I want them to enjoy my company as well, and I want to enjoy their company. But if I'm not even the right mindset, no one will want to be around me. I'm negative all the time, negative Nancy, you know, rude or snappy because I'm not even content with myself. So yeah, that was one exercise that really helped me in working with a relationship coach. And that's not something, you know, you necessarily have to do to get you know, to where you need to be to love yourself. There are plenty other tactics or things you can do. You can even look up those exercises yourself. They're all available online. Just self-love and self-esteem exercises, assessments you can do, movies you can watch, music you can listen to. There's so many resources for us, especially in this era of self-care and self-love is a big, I think, aspect that people are driving home nowadays.
And I think that's one of the things that we tend to shy away from, though, when you were talking about nobody wants to be around you because you're negative Nancy and so on, because it's a comfortable place, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Being in that space and being in that woe is me and projecting negatively towards those people that are in a relationship, because you look at it and think that's the ideal, that's what you want. But if you were to get it, would you be able to keep it? And so I would ask you, really, do you think it would be something that would benefit a lot of people, especially the older you get and getting into relationships, to really take some time to really delve into being single, learning to be content in being single, and rather than rushing into or pining after being in a relationship, and then when you get it, you don't know what to do with it because you didn't take that time.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yes, so I think, like, to your point, like, it's important to take that time to heal. I know I said earlier, you know, about, you know, how much time you're taking to heal. There's a healthy balance between how much time you're focusing on the heartbreak and reflecting on that heartbreak, and then moving past that heartbreak and refocusing your mind. Because if you don't take that time, you can end up in a relationship that you're not ready for, or in a relationship with someone who you're not supposed to be with yet again, and repeating those same cycles. So it's very important for you to take, you know, those active strategies in trying to really find yourself and love yourself the way you need to be loved. And even there's some passive strategies you can use too. One of the techniques I use are YouTube affirmations. So you can just go to sleep and play your YouTube affirmations. And there's times where I've done that and I wake up in the morning, I'm so refreshed, I'm positive, and I really didn't have to do anything but, you know, allow those affirmations to soothe me to sleep. So yeah, there it's so important, you know, to take that time and think about those 8 hours or so that sleep, at least I try to get. If I don't get 8 hours, maybe a few less, but I can take that time and use that as well wisely to get the type of healing that I need.
And talking about healing, is that where you went from your thriving? So not, you know, from thriving instead of just surviving. Mm-hmm.
Yes, for sure. So, like, you think about, say, like, so a survival aspect. Mm-hmm. Say, God forbid, your home gets blown away by a hurricane. Then you're going to be just looking for a place to stay. You know, you just want something over a roof over your head, maybe a few clothes to put on. You're surviving. You're in that survival mode. But if you look at it from a thriving aspect, perhaps you come out of that hurricane with your home being blown away, and you're blessed with a beautiful new home and a better neighborhood, maybe closer to your job or a better school system if you have children. You know, getting out of that survival mode in terms of a relationship is stop looking at it from a aspect of, oh, thank God I got that relationship, like, I don't know what I was thinking, and going into it saying, you know, I accept love and I receive love, I deserve love. Looking at it from, I'm going to walk in my love, I'm going to walk in my healing. That's more in that thriving mindset.
And you know, one of the things talking about walking in my healing, it's talking just like, I am a whole person. I don't need that in order to be a whole person. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where a lot of us kind of get it a little bit wrong at times. Because I know that I've been there when you were saying, gotten into things and you're thinking, oh my Lord, what am I thinking? I know that I've gotten into the new word at the moment is entanglements. Mm-hmm. I know I've gotten myself into some of those. And it was literally because just to have somebody. Mm-hmm. And after getting out of them, I remember saying to a friend of mine, I don't know what I was thinking. And her response was, that's the point, Alison. You weren't thinking. So it's like, okay, if you put it that way, I wasn't. And now that I look back, I wasn't thinking. I was just, again, I was trying to survive. And in that survival, I was trying to look for it and just go and get something to hold on to survive, rather than saying to myself, okay, you're single, that didn't work out. And I think for some of us, it's the single again thing.
Yeah.
And so I would say, okay, Alison, you're single again. You met some guy, you thought, that's it. He told you early on all the wonderful things that you wanted to hear, and you didn't look past why you were literally clinging on to these words, like a drowning woman clinging on to a what do you call them, a life raft. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I had to get to the point to look at it, to say, okay, let's look at this. You need to be okay with just you. You need to be okay so that you don't keep a little bit like, if you remember the what's that movie, Titanic. Mm-hmm. And in order to survive, they were clinging onto anything drifting by.
Right.
Any bit of wood, anything drifting by to just survive, they were clinging onto it. And I found in some instances it was a lot like that. Yeah. And because I didn't take the time in between them to really stop and build myself back up. So like use the X's as building blocks, as you were saying. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, the older I got and I allowed the external pressure and the external voices to get into my ear, to get into my head. Because as I was saying to you earlier, when I was younger and in my 20s, the question was, do you have children? As you get older, the question changed from, do you have children, to how many? Mm-hmm. So people were no longer, so people just made the assumption that you reach a certain age, you're bound to have. Mm-hmm. So when I would say none, people would look at, and the response was, so what's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. And because of being tired of hearing that, and after a while, it just started to wear me down and down, to the point where I wouldn't want to say anything, wouldn't want to tell anybody. And there's times I even made up a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Just so that people wouldn't ask me the questions. And he was always somewhere working. So that's why he couldn't be with me here. Or that's why he couldn't do this. Because again, I wasn't taking that time.
Right.
To be okay with being single, because I was listening to the noise. And just, I was watching a movie the other day I've never heard of it before. I was just going through Netflix and I found something. And it was this young lady, she paid this guy to pretend to be her fiance. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, my gosh, is that where? And I mean, that's not the only movie out there like that. There are several. But it makes me think, it's like, my gosh, is that where we are, to the point of we are so not okay being single that those lengths have been gone to just to be okay, they're not going to ask me the questions. People are not going to look at me a certain way. They're not, or they're not going to look at me with pity or think something's wrong with me. It's because I have somebody on my arm. Right. So, and I think that, to your point of, that's just us surviving. That's, we're not living a fulfilled, thriving life if that's what we're doing. Because if we were, we would be okay to rock up somewhere on our own and still know that we are going to have a good time. We're still going to enjoy it and we're going to be okay.
Right, exactly. And I think I've seen that movie that you're speaking about. And and I think sometimes perhaps from we have to be careful, like speaking to like those rom-coms that we take in, and because I used to be a person who just like, oh, this is the fairy tale I want, this is how it's gonna be, and then I had to live in that reality, like, okay, that's not really how love works out. Because I think the movie that you're referring to is the one I'm thinking of, they actually end up getting married in the end to the fake person, the fake fiance, and you know, that's not necessarily reality. And we, I think, sometimes get caught up in that dramatized lifestyle, or
Hallmark Channel, right?
Right, the Hallmark Channel. And I mean, I think a lot of, we know that's not, you know, really reality, but you know, just not taking it from an aspect of seeing that everything that we see or what other people go through, as far as their story, like we were speaking to earlier, those who get married to their high school sweetheart or their first love, that may not be your story, but what is your story? And say, living out that experience, sharing it with others who go through the heartbreak, as we talked about, those who have that story where we go through, you know, the cycles of heartbreak. How can you help someone else? How can you reach back to a young woman so that, or a young man, you know, to give them advice to say, you know, maybe this is what I went through. Mm-hmm. Now, how I would recommend that you go about it be a little different, you know, based on my story. And of course, you can't, like we spoke to earlier, you can't tell someone what to do, or because they're going to go off and do what they want to anyway. But I think getting that firsthand experience is something that we can do that is realistic to help others outside of looking at movies that probably won't ever happen, you know.
I know sometimes it literally is back away from the Hallmark Channel. Away from the Hallmark Channel. We do need to live in a reality. Mm-hmm. And many times that is not it.
Yeah.
So before we wrap up, the last point that I want to ask is embracing singleness, refocusing your mindset on self-love, healing, freedom, and purpose. What would you encourage men and women to do with regards to embracing their singleness?
I think it just really ties back to everything we've been speaking to, you know, looking first at who you are, how to love yourself in the best way possible to attract the love that you want in all aspects, in all relationships in your life, romantic, like we said, professional, family, and friendships. Taking that time to heal, you know, really looking at yourself and some of the cycles that you've gone through, why you've gone through them, how can you break those cycles? And then from breaking those cycles, you step into that element of freedom where you're no longer bound by your past. You can move forward in your future and you can take that energy that you have spent so much time on not feeling content in your singleness to work on your purpose or reach back out to someone who could benefit from hearing your story and could be encouraged by it.
That is good stuff. That is good stuff. And I think sometimes in embracing our singleness, I wouldn't even say sometimes, I would say in embracing our singleness, we all do need to have that element of isolating ourselves to make sure that we are getting the healing that we need. Because if we don't do that, you run the risk of, as we said earlier, same stuff, just a different face.
For sure.
So yeah, so that is so key, and that is so important. Just taking the time that we need to reflect, get to know who we are, be okay in who we are, and doing the work. Because to be honest, there's sometimes when we take a look at ourselves, it's like, ugh, yeah, I don't like that. Because none of us are perfect. And I'm sure that we've all got things within ourselves. If we were all honest and say, yeah, that could do some work, or I don't like that, let me fix that, let me work on that, rather than sweeping it under the rug and just saying, okay, that one's over, next. So yeah, taking that time. I like that. So Jasmine, you're an author. So if you can let our listeners know the titles of your books and where they can find your books and where they can find you.
Okay, so my books are called The Single Lady's Commandments and The Gentleman's Commandments. They can be found on Amazon, on my website, jasminejones.co. I can send you a personalized copy if you would like. And I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, jasminejones.co.
Great stuff, thank you. And I know there's probably not much going on with the pandemic and the whole world being on lockdown, but so what is next for Jasmine Jones?
Oh, actually, I'm in this moment of reflection now, trying to figure out what's next for me. And I've just been, you know, patient with myself, trying to figure out what that looks like, whether it's another book or another project. And just, you know, like I said, being patient, listening to God, and trying to get the direction that I need for the next steps on this journey that has been going on the last 5 years now. So I'm just riding the wave with God, and we're going to make this happen together.
Great stuff. Jasmine, thank you so much for joining us on Conversations with Allison J, The Journey to Him.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
You too.
Thank you for spending time with us. We're already looking forward to the next episode of This is Conversations with Allison J, The Journey to Here. Until next time, honor, respect, and blessings to you all. If you want to connect, visit AllisonJ.net. That's AllisonJaye.net. Allison with one L, as she is the one and only